Hello, I'm Daniel Davis, and you are listening to the Gospel Project for Adults weekly leader training podcast. This week we are on Unit 32, Session 2, titled Convicted by the Gospel. Acts 10 begins the longest episode provided by Luke, a two-chapter narrative pivotal for the growth and direction of the church. This episode took place in the region of Judea. Remember the progression from Jerusalem to Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. In this account, geographically located in Judea, the gospel message was about to bust through barriers in a big way. The prominence and importance of this narrative cannot be overstated. If Peter did not have the teachability and obedience to follow God's lead, Christ's church may be in quite a different place today. Yet, as God would have it, Peter did show humility. He was taught by God how his perspective should change. And then Peter obeyed the leading of the Holy Spirit. Through a vision and the Lord's calling Peter to meet with Cornelius, a Gentile, God revealed once again that the gospel is for all people. In point one, we see that the Lord prepares people for the gospel. The experiences of Peter are the main focus of this two-chapter account, but we cannot dismiss what God was doing in the life of a Gentile God-fearer to set up these events. A Roman centurion named Cornelius, along with his whole household, feared God, meaning he followed many of the Jewish religious rites. It's possible he followed the ways of the law of God, with the lone exception of circumcision, which still functionally kept him separated from the people of God, the Jews, who would not associate with uncircumcised Gentiles. Cornelius received a vision of an angel of God, who told him that his prayers and acts of charity were pleasing to the Lord, in the same way the Old Testament sacrifices were a pleasing aroma to God when offered in obedience and faith. Therefore, Cornelius was given specific instructions to send for Simon Peter in Joppa, who was staying with Simon the Tanner. He's not given the reason why, but as a God-fearer, he knew he must obey the command of God through his angel, which he did immediately in verses 7 through 8. Sending two household servants and a soldier from his regiment, three Gentiles. The Lord had obviously been working in the life of Cornelius to draw him as a God-fearing Gentile. And now, the Lord was taking the next step, in his perfect timing, to draw Cornelius to faith in Jesus Christ. In point two, we see that the Lord calls people to act in faith and share the gospel. Take note that this point has two separate scripture readings. For the sake of our study, it made sense to deal with these two passages separately, the first giving what happened, and the second clarifying the why. At the end of Acts chapter 9, we find Peter at the end of a period of traveling, doing miracles and proclaiming the gospel. He has landed in Joppa, staying with Simon the Tanner. In Acts 10:9, the first verse of our focal passage, we read that they were traveling and nearing the city. The they in this sentence are the three Gentiles Cornelius sent in obedience to God's command. So, while they are on their way, Peter, who was oblivious to God's interaction with Cornelius, went up on the roof of the house where he was staying to pray. He's hungry and having some food prepared downstairs, but then he falls into a trance and experiences a vision from God. In this vision, he sees a sheet coming down from heaven that is carrying every kind of animal on earth. He sees something like the animal passengers of Noah's Ark laid out in front of him, which, by God's decree, included both clean and unclean animals. According to the law of Moses, the Jews were permitted to eat only those animals that were classified as clean. But here God tells Peter to kill the animals and eat indiscriminately. Peter, perhaps thinking this is a test, objects, saying that he has always followed God's law and not eaten anything impure and ritually unclean. But then God tells him to kill and eat a second time, and again a third time. He says, "What God has made clean, do not call impure." All told, Peter is given the command to kill and eat three times before the vision ends. Three times, Peter is confronted with a command to do something historically and religiously objectionable, a violation of God's law. But God's command here is meant to supersede what had been given in the past, because God was working out his gospel plan in light of God's game-changing sacrifice. So, moving on to the second scripture passage for this point, Peter is processing what he has just witnessed in this vision, when the Holy Spirit tells him to go downstairs because three men, are looking for him, and he is to go with them, as they say, because the Holy Spirit sent them. Peter meets up with the men and asks them why they have come, and here's the story about Cornelius's vision of an angel from God. So Peter, no doubt making the connection between his own vision and the coming of three Gentiles, invites them in. In the law of Moses, being unclean separated you from God's people and God's worship, until a period of time and actions were followed to once again become ritually clean. But Gentiles, being uncircumcised and apart from the covenant, were categorically unclean. So association with them would make a Jew unclean as well. But here, Peter invites them in. God had made his point. What God has made clean, do not call impure. Therefore, Peter doesn't balk at being with these three Gentiles, or going with them the next day to their Gentile master. Peter obeys in faith, and this sets up a powerful advance of the gospel in the world. In point 3, we see that the Lord transforms people by the power of the gospel. When Peter arrives in Caesarea, he finds Cornelius together with his relatives and close friends, people he has gathered together to hear what God will say through the Apostle Peter. While Cornelius was a God-fearer, we must recognize that his understanding of spiritual things was still lacking. And to be clear, this is true for all of us to one degree or another. Peter himself had just debated with God about a command in his vision. Cornelius fell at Peter's feet and worshipped a man. Peter graciously corrected Cornelius' understanding and practice, because only one man is worthy of our worship, and that's Jesus. So, Peter gets beyond the doorstep and sees the crowd and makes his opening statement. The gospel proclamation comes later, which we will look at in the next session, but for now, we must take note of what the gospel means for our interaction with others. Peter acknowledged what every Gentile in that house already knew, that it was forbidden for a Jewish man to associate with or visit a foreigner. Again, this would make Jews ritually unclean and unable to visit the temple for worship for a time, not to mention the scrutiny and displeasure of all the Jews around, who would frown upon those associations. But the believer is called not to fear man, but to fear God. And God had told Peter that he should no longer call any person, Jew or Gentile, impure or unclean. The law of Moses has been fulfilled in Jesus, and its rules and regulations have been set aside in the new covenant, which is governed by God's law of love. To be sure, this does not mean there aren't moral expectations in God's law of love, but the rules and regulations that have been set up for the people of Israel, those have been set aside, their purpose having been fulfilled in Jesus. Therefore, the barriers that had previously been set up by God's law, and the unholy barriers created by the world, are all dismantled through the gospel of Jesus Christ. No one is beyond the saving reach of God, so we should keep no one at arm's length as we take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Through a vision given by God, Peter came to understand that Jesus is the Savior of all people, Jews and Gentiles alike, all who repent and believe in him. Anyone who trusts in Jesus is no longer unclean because of sin, but rather has been cleansed from all unrighteousness and is now part of the one family of God, made clean by the saving blood of Jesus. Because Christ's work has cleansed the sin of all who believe, we believers should forgive one another of any wrongdoing and join with all our brothers and sisters in Christ, standing together in unity to show the world God's power to change people through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thanks for listening to this week's leader training for the Gospel Project for Adults. For more resources to help you focus your ministry on the gospel, please visit gospelproject.com.